look like glue. Vaseline when you're black and blue. Like to woo.
Everybody, it's Thursday. It's not really Thursday, but on Thursday I'm going to be on an airplane over the sea. Actually, I hope it's not over the sea, because if it's over the sea, that means the pilot fucked up real bad.
It might be over the sea at the very end.
I guess that's true. The very end of the sea.
Yeah. Or there's a point at which it will be over a gulf, at least.
Maybe. How do you know that it doesn't go down America's wang as opposed to straight across beneath America's nutsack? I think the Gulf of Mexico is America's nutsack.
Does that make...
I think isn't a Gulf kind of a...
Yeah, I think the Gulf is the
empty space. Yeah.
The landmass has to be... The nutsack has to be some part of the landmass. So either the nutsack is...
How does your nutsack work?
Nutsack
is just the name for the empty space under your penis.
Wow, right? I don't know what to do about that sentence at all.
So anyway, we're pre-recording a couple of segments, and I'm hoping that I can find somebody to display them.
To broadcast?
If we recorded 7 segments, we could display any number we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Any single digit number.
So I bought a weird thing on the iTelephones that was like a... It's basically just David Crane trying to make some money. And
like,
I'll give you some money, David Crane. You're my favorite. So he's releasing these apps. I bought another one today for a game that I wasn't particularly interested in, and it was more expensive. I'm like, well, I'm an idiot.
Wow.
That's the explanation. But so there's this app called 2600 Magic or something, and it's basically just like a little PowerPoint presentation on the iPhone about programming the Atari 2600.
Huh.
But it was super interesting, and I'm super glad that I bought it.
To you, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I can recommend it as an item of general interest, but...
I was pretty interested.
Yeah, no, I feel like you will read it.
I don't know if the general public will be.
So, for the benefit of me and the general public, who's David Crane?
The guy who did Pitfall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has some cred.
And A Boy and His Blob.
Yeah.
Now he lost it.
Did he do anything... Did he have anything to do with the new Boy in His Blob?
I don't know. Did he have anything to do with Nobi Nobi Boy and his Nobi Nobi Blob? So, I have no fucking idea what's going on in Nobi Nobi Boy.
Yeah.
I bought it and I played it a little bit and I'm like, what the fuck?
What is this?
It's really not so much describable as a game as it is a toy.
But I couldn't do anything or go anywhere.
What,
are you supposed to be able to eat stuff?
Is it on the iPhone?
Yeah, you could eat stuff.
I couldn't eat anything.
Is it on the iPhone?
No, it's on the PlayStation 3 network.
Okay.
I think, didn't the Katamari Damacy guy make it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck that. I don't, like, I feel like maybe there was, like, a button missing from my controller. Because I couldn't eat anything.
The asterisk button.
Yeah, I could stretch out, and I could, like, tie myself in knots and shit. But I did not move Nobi Nobi Girl any closer to eating the moon or whatever the fuck. Yeah. No. You eat things and then they fall out your ass.
That's the way things normally work.
I think. I read about how you're supposed to eat things and then they fall out your ass.
Yeah.
You can also stretch yourself out really far.
Maybe your problem is that you read about it beforehand, and so that tainted your... the purity of your experience,
mm-hmm.
So therefore it was just not authentic or interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. So I beat Mass Effect 2 this weekend.
It's true.
That was pretty good, and I'm totally going to spoil it for Riff. Riff's like halfway through. What do you think about it?
I think it's pretty cool. I'm I'm not very entertained by the combat. I think I've been spoiled by the Vets combat in Fallout 3. But, I love the writing and the story and everything.
The Vets
so
combat...
I'm willing to...
Vats combat seemed like...
Make it through the combat to get to more writing.
Way closer to, like, Final Fantasy combat than, like, a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
From okay, this is me having just watched these games played, not actually playing.
It is until you run out of action points. So then you gotta run and duck and cover.
Okay.
You gotta get down on the floor, put your head between your knees, and kiss your ass goodbye. That's what you're supposed to do if there's a nuclear bomb.
I see.
If there's an atom bomb.
Hydrogen bomb?
Mm-hmm.
Heroin?
If there's an H-bomb. Yeah. If you get a big burst of China White in the sky. Or if you're watching an episode of China Beach.
Whereas I feel like this was, while not a genuine first-person shooter in a lot of ways, it seemed like it was closer to that than Final Fantasy.
It is a lot more shootery than Vats. I feel, though, that, like...
I also got to say that I watched it played on a console, and then I watched it played on a PC, and I was like, why would anyone ever play this on a console? It seems so bad.
Yeah, does it do, like, some kind of... Does it auto-aim for you at all?
No.
Wow. So, it's hard for me to imagine you saying that the combat is uninteresting. Like, my complaint about the combat is that it was basically...
Not that it's
trivially easy.
Yeah, not that it's uninteresting. It's more that it's a pain in the ass.
Huh. I did not find it to be a pain in the ass. I mean, it's always like unsurprising, right? Like I feel like you know the way that Chris Remo described it on the new idle thumbs, yay! you know, it was like just like sort of the whole world is divided into a series of paintball arenas.
Yeah.
Because it's like you go into a place and you're like, oh, there's something to hide behind. I bet some dudes are gonna shoot me.
Yeah, that was...
Every once in a while, they fuck with you. Every once in a while, they'll put some cover in a hallway where you don't get ambushed.
Yeah.
Because somebody must have thought of that during the design phase.
That was what Yahtzee was saying today about how you know when there's an ambush because the floor is littered with chest-high walls.
I kind of wish they had done a little less of that and did more of the making you... Because at least getting into cover around corners or on tall objects, like... limits your field of view some and sort of makes it a little like, oh, well, now I don't know if the guy's going to come around behind me or whatever.
Mm.
You know, it's like a little more... I don't know. The combat was definitely repetitive and it was easy, but it was pretty fun. Like, I'm playing just the, like... I was playing as the default soldier class, and so you get that, like, ability that just slows down time and lets you just, you know, with, like, a single clip, just, like, murder three dudes to death with headshots.
I've been playing Sniper... So maybe if I'd been playing something with a targeting system that I'm more used to, like mouse and keyboard, I would be having an easier time.
I feel like you would have had a lot more fun with a mouse and keyboard, to be honest.
Yeah, I would not recommend against the mouse and keyboard, certainly. And also having, like, you know, 8 abilities hotkeyed is nice. It's kind of interesting. There are really only a handful of abilities in the game. How do you feel about the, like... You never played any Mass Effect 1, did you?
No.
How do you feel about it in terms of, like, its simplicity as an RPG?
I mean, I don't have any problem with it. A lot of the standard elements that you see in RPGs are kind of just busy work, I feel like. Like inventory management.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. I feel like what Mass Effect 2 has done by eliminating a lot of that is really just tidying up a lot of the cruft that gets in your way while you're trying to watch this story. And I mean, I wouldn't want every RPG to go this way because... I mean, a lot of that stuff can be fun sometimes, but it's interesting to see something that's been boiled down to just the essential elements this way.
Or some of the elements that make an RPG fun,
right?
And not, I would not say the essential elements that make an RPG fun, but I would say that they've definitely chosen some and just used those.
Right.
Right? Because I, you know, to me, like, I sort of enjoy inventory management. You know, like, I kind of enjoy trying to maximize for a specific situation or you know, pump up gains on a specific stat to the max or whatever to perform some particular task.
Hmm.
You know, so, but the absence of it, the interface for Mass Effect 1 was fucking terrible. And so, like, it was basically, like, I never really understood, like, is this a gun that I'm carrying? Is this a gun that's in my backpack? Is this even a gun? Or is this just, like, a place where a gun would be if I had one? Like, I found the interface in Mass Effect 1 to be just completely inscrutable. And the gameplay to be very difficult because of all of the shooting and aiming and the nice lady. But yeah, no, I like, it is so rare that I will play a game to completion that when I do, I have to conclude that, like, they must have done something right.
Yeah.
For do you think you'll finish it? Do you think you'll stick to it?
I don't know. I would like to finish it. I mean, my not finishing games is largely not having anything to do with how much I like the game or not. It's just a matter of my attention span and what other shiny new game distracts me.
Mm-hmm.
But, or a cross stitch.
Yeah, or a shiny new cross stitch.
Yeah. But, it's something I intend to complete eventually.
And do you also intend to complete a cross stitch of the Crocomire fight from Super Metroid?
I do. Eventually? In fact, I'm working on it right now.
Yeah? Are you actually working on it while you're on the radio?
Yes.
But Riff, this is the radio show where you have to shine.
Yeah, you get to bask in some fucking glory here in a second.
Cross stitching doesn't occupy the verbal centers in my brain.
It doesn't interfere with your glory basking.
You're gonna start cross stitching like your responses instead of saying them. You'd be like, ah, crap,
I've ruined it. There wasn't a part of the screen in this Metroid game that said "fuck you, player base." I hate you.
Lava maze, lava maze,
lava maze. Why did I use all this red?
So yeah, fucking Nemesis Quest, man.
Woohoo!
Tiny Plastic Yar wrote, "From the day you removed the Nemesis Quest, I have been waiting on the world to change. Now it is complete, and it goes far beyond my wildest imagination, and is fucking awesome, awesome."
Well,
are you
much.
Almost done with Slime Hates at Chef Staff?
We can never do enough.
Yeah, that's true. Missing No says, with the size and scope of the Nemesis Quest appears to be taking, it looks like maybe it should be the main object of the game for Ascension rather than the Naughty Sorceress. Yeah. It's cool. Like, I like the boss fights. I feel like I like all of the boss fights in the Nemesis Quest more than I like the Naughty Sorceress fight.
Huh.
We should make it so you have to do that lava maze every time you ascend, and Riff should write 100 more versions of the lava maze.
One a day.
One a day, so that it cannot ever be automated.
Yeah. Keep progressing faster than the...
Just keep changing things in the script, so that...
We could keep changing the boss fights, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That we did that, you know, coming up with those boss fights was so fast and easy that we could totally do them once a day. We could just change them once a day. Never the same boss fight. In fact, why don't we do it once per player? So it's never the same boss fight twice.
Wow.
Like, literally. Not even for two people playing the same class on the same day.
Ever.
Yeah.
That would actually be, if you could come up with some kind of...
algorithm?
Fight mechanic generating engine... The same way we've got, like, the
Native American
Hodgman speech and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the comic strip maker. That would be kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, but the comic strip maker isn't very funny most of the time. And the Hodgman thing works because it is just supposed to be completely random.
Yeah, well, what if the fights were supposed to be total bullshit?
Yeah. I guess, like, you know, you have to use an item from the game to defeat it.
I mean, like, I could make a...
Could
I could write a program...
Them.
Like, if my goal was to generate, you know, an infinite number of, like, bullshit, unsolvable crossword puzzles... Like, I feel like I could write a generator for those. Like, I could... You
probably,
know, I could whip
probably
that up
very quickly.
Quick. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And now you've gone and spoiled the next bit of the Fernsworthy quest.
Yeah. Bullshit, unsolvable crossword puzzles. Just... It's got 40 floors, and each floor is a bullshit, unsolvable crossword puzzle. So yeah, Riff, you got anything you wanna say about the Nemesis Quest?
I was impressed by the job that our bug testing devs did.
Yeah, they kind of went above and beyond this
Gemelli
time.
And Krovacs knocked that shit out of the ballpark. We released it with only a very small number of pretty trivial bugs. And it all came out.
We say that now, and of course, there's probably some infinite.
Yeah,
until
suddenly
exploit.
Something catches fire.
Yeah, but they really the dev team really did a bunch of testing on this for the past month. Really,
yeah. We ended up really slowing down the development, kind of like because we tried really hard to get this done and rolled out before we went to New York. No, like in November.
Really?
We were trying to get Nemesis and the underwater stuff done before we left for New York.
We were crazy.
No, I know. Like, I think stupid is more what we were than crazy. But
given the amount of time that we spent on this,
and if we had worked on even and I have said this before, but if we had worked on only one of them, we still wouldn't have gotten it done. So I don't know what the fuck we were thinking.
So we've clearly been. I mean, Riff has been on this for a long time.
Riff's been working on it, like doing the writing over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and then the rest of us.
Whenever there hasn't been something time sensitive, this has been what I've been working on.
Yeah, and then the rest of us sort of came in to the game, I guess in November.
Yeah.
Because we worked on that before Crimbo. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
I know, man. Tell me about it.
And then we were hoping to get it done before we left San Francisco, but that we just didn't have any time to work in San Francisco, really.
Yeah. We even had some phone meetings specifically for this. Me and Hot Stuff and Riff and CD Moyer.
And we kept working on stuff. I mean, we were making progress the
whole
time.
No, we did, yeah. Like, there was so much of it.
Yeah.
You know, the dev team had a lot of time to test stuff and just made really good use of the time. Like, this was...
It was really good.
It would be, I'm looking forward to the next big content rollout with this team behind it because it's like, it's fun.
Which is probably going to be the
couple
underwater
months. Underwater stuff probably in a couple months.
Yeah.
Although you're trying to pile a bunch of stuff up before we
I'm
do
not
the underwater stuff.
Trying to pile it. I'm just trying to say that there's some other stuff that's smaller and more bite-sized that we could do, and then maybe May for the underwater stuff, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. We can keep working on the underwater stuff in the interim.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's... If we buckle down, it's probably 2 weeks away from being done.
It is... So I feel like the underwater stuff is closer to being done than Nemesis was...
Oh, yeah.
When we left in November.
And it's also... You only have to do... one thing as opposed to six different
versions of the thing, yeah. Like,
that's the thing that's crazy.
Yep. Fucking replay a motherfucking ability. let's see. Gleebs wrote, please spend all of Thursday's show talking about the Nemesis Quest. It's so awesome. RDFM says, hey guys, love the show. Just want to say, everybody, but especially Riff, this shit rules. Everything about it is awesome. Everything about it is awesome, seriously. Longest 2 weeks ever, but well worth it.
Thank you.
Each of those weeks was like a year. Macarena says, I love the new Nemesis Quest. Well, baila tu cuerpa alegria, Macarena.
The Punisher. You know that lyric.
The Punisher says, you guys really outdid yourselves with the Nemesis Quest. I mean, just wow. Well, is there any more?
I kind of like how we announced it by the addition of trophies rather than anything
some
else.
Some people don't seem to understand how awesome Surprise is.
It's like when we rolled out Ascension had a trivial update.
Yeah, I forget what we did with NS13.
Yeah, I don't remember. Made a mistake.
Man. Well, Riff slowly making up for the sins of the fathers. Nemesis and stuff. I feel like I feel like people don't hate the lava maze as much as I do.
Yeah, I'm glad that I eventually caved on putting that shortcut in.
The skipping it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it works out pretty well. I think the way that the prizes go away if you skip it is good, because yeah. It's not like if somebody is just like super pissed and doesn't like, I could have solved the fucking thing. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to start writing shit down.
Yeah, I didn't. I never tried to actually write stuff down, and I spent like half an hour on each one that I tried to solve because I was just like clicking, clicking, clicking. Another dead end. Click, 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 click. And it was entertaining enough, I think,
mm-hmm.
for that to be the mechanic.
Yeah, for you. You're one of those puzzle dicks.
Yeah. Yeah, I spend a lot of time working on puzzles.
That's like the new game from the makers of Puzzle Quest. Puzzle Dicks.
It's like a porn puzzle game.
Yeah, yeah. It's all dicks.
Until you solve them.
Trying to fit dicks into a box in specific configurations.
Right. Dick
chain. There was a news story, and apparently it got picked up by like Comedy Central. There was a tree in Phoenix that got carved to look like a big dick sticking out of the ground.
Balls.
And it turns out it's at this friend of ours' house.
Really?
Yeah. The guy, Matt, that was Pez Boy's buddy, he used to come to the bar all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was his house.
He did that?
No. No. Just one of his friends was like, "What?" So they had this tree in the yard, and they were like, "Oh, I'm going to have my buddy cut this tree down." And they're like, "All right, I'm going to leave the trunk and make you a sculpture." Oh, okay. And he goes out, and it's just a big dick. And it's like 8 feet tall, so it's totally visible over the wall. And people called the cops, and the cops were like, "We can't do anything about it." So then they called the news. And then the city's fining him for having a dead tree. And you got to get rid of it because it's a dead tree.
Wow.
Yeah. It's Tempe, but if they're anything like Mesa, the city, man, you can't fuck with City Hall.
The city is just pissing me off, though, because how is it that there is a public alley behind the house?
It's not. So we got like a notice here at the office because there's fucking graffiti in the alley, because there was some graffiti in the alley that I didn't clean up fast enough, so we got a fucking notice saying they're going to fine us.
Alley.
It's not, though. The city, it is no longer a city easement, which is why we were allowed.
Then let us. Can we build walls?
Yes.
We could extend our side walls back to the far wall.
I'm almost certain that we
could. I think we can't, because I think they don't. They need to be able to get back there for utilities.
No, they don't. It's not. It seriously, like, we built. Like, the people here got permission to build gates on either end of it, right? Which the city does not have a key to.
Right, but they need. But I thought the whole point was that they had to be able to get back there.
No.
That's why we couldn't.
No, they don't use it anymore. Okay. The reason
well,
that we've been able to put the gates up is
in the backyard.
But I think that something has to happen before the lots actually extend. Like, right now, I think it belongs to no one, so we can't actually build
on
it.
If it belongs to no one, then we aren't responsible.
Yeah, we're not responsible for the graffiti. I don't really fucking understand.
And why is it?
I feel like if we put the gate up on the other end, the city trucks wouldn't be able to go in there and see if there was graffiti. So.
And why are we responsible for graffiti on what is a wall that is actually on somebody else's property?
It was not. There was graffiti on our wall.
I see.
Yeah. No, I checked. I was gonna be all righteously indignant, yeah. But I couldn't. So Nemesis Quest.
Yeah.
Factitious writes into the Twitter, "Solving the lava puzzle the old school way with graph paper was great. I hope other people have been complaining about it." I'm sorry.
That really is the best way to solve this whole
thing. Yeah, I don't know, man. I was even thinking about that, and I was like, no. No. I expected, and I don't know why, I felt like the solutions were going to be all windy and crisscrossy.
They are fairly windy and crisscrossy.
They're windy, but they don't seem to be very crisscrossy.
One of them is
jump,
more
jump.
Than
Yeah,
the
Daddy
other.
Mac will make you jump from stone to stone in the lava.
There's...
It makes me sad that not every browser shows all the animation properly.
Yeah, that's weird.
It makes a little bit of sense in the sense that, like, browsers handle one-time animated GIFs differently. Some of them
right, cache. If you load one, it won't replay. If you reload, it won't replay it.
Yeah. So it's possible that you are not seeing open player base, you're not seeing the majesty that is the true lava maze.
I think I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah. For me, the the things sync once, and then they just disappear.
Oh, that
after
sucks.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything syncs and rises. It looks pretty good. It like it makes it seem a lot more, because we for a long time in the implementation it was just platforms would appear and disappear depending on where you jumped, and having them sync and rise makes it a lot more sort of coherent.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it sets it up as a place more than just a puzzle.
Well, both though, like I think the puzzle is almost more comprehensible as you see the cycle.
Oh, right. You see the state changing.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. Well, I wish I could see it, yeah. But I can't because my browser is balls.
What browser do you use?
I don't know. Fireballs. Fox balls.
What browser does it work properly on?
Deer nuts.
It works on Firefox Opera. On Mac. It's fine.
Hmm. Does it work on Safari?
I don't.
Explorer?
I never tried it on Safari Explorer Opera 8. OmniWeb 12.
What's OmniWeb?
It's another browser.
Safari 8, OmniWeb 12, Manchester United 6. Oh. What else do we have to talk about with the Nemesis Quest? Oh, Hot Stuff did a good job animating the Nemesis.
Those end boss graphics are fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with the way that
most of
glorious everything turned out.
Jick's drawings that I then animated.
I did all those in one sitting in New York. No, I didn't. I did like four of them.
Four of them, yeah.
I did four of them in one sitting in New York. I went down with my briefcase to the lounge of the off Soho Suites, and I was like, I'm gonna draw these motherfuckers.
Yep. It's pretty good. Pretty cool. Did you do the progression at that point, or just the final stage?
I did do the progression. I like the later ones got a lot more sort of edited from existing stuff, I guess. It was like, which ones did I wear? The ghost, because I knew I already had a ghost with turntables drawn.
Right.
Which, that was fucking handy. yeah.
I like the fire inside the
ghost. Yeah, no, you made that look pretty awesome. I drew some flames, and Hot Stuff was like, I cannot masturbate to this, make it again! And I made it again.
And I didn't end up using either of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you just draw all the flames by hand?
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
It just nothing looked good from the source.
That's pretty impressive then.
Yeah.
Did
you see that the records are spinning
on the turn? I did. I noticed those little touches that you added to make up for how long you took to do the work in the first place. You did a really good job when you finally got around to it. A lot of stuff was waiting on Hot Stuff, sort of. It never got really time sensitive. It never got to the point where you were the only one with anything to do, but
it was
risking getting to that point.
I had to do a couple
marathons at the end, but you were
a
sick.
A week and a half ago, but then, yeah. But, like, I got sick. And
you're always sick.
I'm not always sick.
You have like, an aluminum foil constitution.
I was not sick for, like, a year. It was awesome, and then I got like the swine flu when we went to New York, and I've been kind of still recovering from that ever since. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Been trying to exercise more, sort of. Trying to build your stamina back up.
I'm way out of shape from where I was 3 months ago.
I don't know. It was because you didn't walk up and down enough hills in San Francisco.
That's true.
We always took the flat way everywhere.
Yeah, some places we just couldn't get to.
Yeah, it's weird. So then those assassins and stuff, that shit has all been done for months.
Yeah.
I even drew all those months
ago. 6 months
ago. Yeah. I was happy with the way the Nacho Golem looked, and I'm also happy with the name of the Nacho Golem. It took me a while to get it, because I was also reading it as Heimandatz. Because I was like, why is the Nacho Golem German? And why is even this German name weird and made up?
I fooled myself, actually, because today I was looking through like what had been posted on the wiki so far and saw the description for the Hellseal Claw and could not for the life of me figure out what it was talking about. And I was like, I wrote this, but it makes no sense to me. And it turned out it was a Motorhead lyric that I just looked up online.
Huh. Did You're getting some insight into the process of Riff's creative writing skills.
Yeah. If you didn't know what you were trying to accomplish with it, how did you know to look up a Motorhead lyric online?
I googled claw lyrics.
Oh.
Wow.
And then took something that was appropriate.
That is not how I write item descriptions.
Your memory though is kind of insane though, because you will just reference things in your memory that it blows me away how much stuff you just sort of can recall and is at your
fingertips. It's not always accurate. I mean, I have to look it up. So, I mean, and sometimes if it's like, if I need to write 10 jokes about Cure lyrics, then I will just read a bunch of Cure lyrics online. But I go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to write 10 jokes about Cure lyrics because, like, say, I think of one or two.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, that's I did Jocko out. Homo. But, yeah, just I couldn't think of anything for the claw, so I was like, all right, tell me what to write, Google.
And then it's funny that you didn't get it later.
Yeah.
And then there's the island, which was goddamn pain in the ass to.
So,
Riff and I had a meeting where we went to the bar, and I was like, "All right, Riff, what the fuck? We gotta scribble some notes on this paper on how to draw these fucking islands."
To give the players a sense of how long this has been in the works, the Feelies packs.
Yeah.
Which were done 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Or more.
Right.
Where...
That was the basis for what the island was going to look like.
Because we knew that there was going to be this island that long ago.
Yep.
This thing is nuts.
So those of you who've had the Feelies packs and had been wondering what that nautical chart was, you finally know the answer.
Yeah. Yep.
Those things are long gone.
Yeah. I miss them.
We should do another one. I still have a bunch of those charts left.
Do we do it different?
Well, we do some different things, some new things, some old things.
If we could find
something
out
old, something new,
if we could find out a cheap
borrowed,
way to get like filthy lucre,
we could.
Yeah,
we should do that. We should borrow a bunch of stuff from people
and then sell it. Yeah.
We could borrow stuff from the player base.
Yeah.
It'd be some sort of weird, like, white elephant swap. Where
they lend
us a stuff.
Or Swappingtons. Remember how Swappingtons existed for a while and never took off?
No. What is Swappingtons?
It was a website.
Yeah, well, I got
it. So, you'd put stuff up. It was basically like... I don't know, like eBay for people who don't like...
To buy
money.
So they would put stuff up.
You'd put stuff up for a certain amount of points.
And then you'd look at other people's things and pick stuff, and then the computer would like arrange trades.
No. You'd put stuff up for a certain number of points.
Okay.
Right? So you'd give it away.
Give it away now.
You'd send it to somebody and you'd get some points that they had. I feel like you started with some points.
So you could get something?
Yeah.
Huh.
Right, and then so you'd earn points, and then you'd use them, and then you could use those points to take stuff from other people. It needed a pretty significant critical mass of people trusted it to begin with.
What was the revenue source?
Oh, dude, I don't. It was the
they'd,
internet.
They'd get a fraction of every point.
I want to say it was the thing that I want to say it was Joshua Schachter that tried to do it.
Maybe it was actually FedEx or UPS.
Right. There you go.
That'd be kind of clever, actually. Just some website that encouraged people to mail things to other people.
So there's that volcano island. There's all those slime recipes.
Jesus.
Pretty funny.
Assholes.
Discovery for everyone. Including all of the ones that are like, blue so, plus blue equals blue.
For
all the many, many ways you can get brown.
Those recipes were in existence before Discoveries. Before we decided to do Discoveries.
Right, that's true.
But then there was the moment when I said, wow, the Nemesis Quest is going to kind of blow this out of the water. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, Do you guys not remember? There's like 8,000 slime recipes.
How many recipes are there?
90.
90?
Yeah.
90 recipes.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You can collapse sections in the discoveries.
For ages, too.
The what?
The familiars. The first guy that got a familiar that I in the chat channels I was watching, I looked at his list of familiars and had to scroll back like an entire page, like 24 familiars before I found his mariachi dog.
1,300 items were spindled between when you spindled the map and current day.
It was crazy.
Which is, you know,
There's still that mysticality third. Quest, though, that still beats it.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't beat it. The volcano map is earlier than the mysticality quest.
Really?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Wow. I would not have thought that.
Yeah. No, the mysticality quest stuff is in the middle.
I guess the stuff for the cave had been spindled like a year before it came out.
Yeah. The familiars, the I think the familiars, their equipment, and the map were all spindled.
Did we do the cave like in Boston last year?
I don't know. I really don't remember when this all
wasn't
rolled out.
Last year. It might have been the year before.
Hmm. Nah, the cave hasn't been out that... The new cave hasn't been there that long. I think it was last year.
Hmm.
If only there was something. So the first class familiar was familiar number 83. And what are we on now? Like 120?
You could look at what was before it, like just like in that list, and see where we were in Mr. A.
120 was the stalking mimic. There's no 125. No 124.
This is a terrible way of doing
123 it. Is the Bricko familiar. Oh, crap.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Yeah. These familiars were spindled right after the Mad Hat Rack. The one after that.
Damn.
Yeah. I remember them being written on this whiteboard... Yeah. Here above the bar for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And then somebody pointed out the picture that Roy had taken of Thomas Jefferson with the wizard hat, where you could read thugs 7/45, mob penguins 8/60, assassins 9/75, named boss 10/90.
I think it only went down to mob penguins actually, unless
you could read,
I saw it recently.
No, the one that was posted today, you could read all of them.
Oh, wow.
And you could also, if it were taken now, you would also see the phrases Bonerang and hot dog trees underneath Dr. Hot Dog. The pretentious artist has got some
weird whiteboard habits.
Yeah,
I don't get
all there is this. Only one project left in this thing that has been on the whiteboard for 5 years, Riff.
Yeah, that's true.
I would not have thought that was 5 years worth of work. We've done other stuff in the meantime, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot going on in between.
We're not going to be able to erase
all
that.
The June familiars and the...
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's never coming off the whiteboard. I think we need to... What we should do is we should take the whiteboard off the wall, give it to you.
Frame it.
Yeah. Just frame the entire whiteboard. This is my 4x8 mural. And then just replace it with a different 4x8 whiteboard. Good old whiteboards. So yeah, there's those familiars. There's the
epic outfit.
Yeah, the epic outfit. Yep. It came down to me and Hot Stuff to design the boss fights and the skills that the ultimate legendary epic weapons. They were calling them slews, but we called them Yulus.
Yeah,
who's calling them?
Slews? I don't know. People in the forums. They were like super legendary epic weapons.
Oh, super legendary.
But they're ultimate legendary epic weapons.
Yeah, yeah, spoiler. There's no more. Nothing else is happening with these.
No. That's actually not true.
Yeah.
Penultimate. Yeah,
Riff has just plans.
Plues. They're plues.
Plues.
Yeah, God, Riff has plans. That's
Riff
nuts.
Has plans within wheels, man. Yeah. Riff has plans the like
gears
the fucking
are always
Harkonnens.
Turning. The big wheel keep on something.
Gathering no moss.
Burning.
You never lost a minute of sleep in worrying about whether or not Tina Turner understood the fucking lyrics to that song?
I don't know. It still makes more sense than that one Beatles song.
The what?
That one Beatles song.
No, I thought you said that Lolita song.
No.
I'm like, that wasn't
too.
A song, dude. That was a novel.
There's got to be at least one song about Lolita.
Don't Stand So Close to Me.
Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon.
So there's at least a couple songs about Lolita.
Your theme song. The song of your life. Man, there's such a good joke on MC Frontalot's new album.
Oh, yeah. God.
And again, I am such an asshole.
For talking about it?
Yeah, because it just comes up naturally. I think about it all the time. I can't stop listening to it and sort of touching myself inappropriately. So, let's see. Jowlin says, you're seriously phoning it in after dropping that content? I'm disappointed. Great content, though. Look, this does not count as phoning in a radio show. We're paying every bit as much attention to this radio show as we do to every radio show that we do. Which is to say, not a whole fucking lot. No, I'm just kidding. We love you.
We just logistically, it is impossible to do a show tomorrow. So.
Yeah. So it would be nice if we could talk for 4 minutes and 50 seconds more about the Nemesis Quest, because then we would be done with this segment, and then when we come back, we can talk about Karma, and then we can take some questions.
Okay.
So, 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. What else is there?
Did you want to talk about the balancing of the Nemesis boss fights?
Process. We didn't really balance the Nemesis boss fights. We just tried to make them all interesting, but not hard, not super hard.
There was balancing.
We wanted to make sure that they were doable by a level 13 player.
Level 11 was our baseline.
Really? Level 11 vanilla?
Vanilla.
Yep. That's when you get
there. But we were assuming Maul access. Like, yeah, beaten by level 11 with vanilla, with only in-class skills. Assuming Maul access and at least some reasonable amount of knowledge about what things do.
Sure.
Like what sorts of potions are available to you and stuff like that. Some of the fights were found to require a couple semi-rares. We determined that that's fine. To do them vanilla level 11.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the fights are probably not going to be that hard for most established players.
Turtle of Seven Tails was fucking insane as originally written.
Yeah.
Because it also spread all your elemental damage out across every
attack. Well, so it was you could use it as many times as you wanted.
We weren't supposed to tell people that.
Well, whatever.
Because now they know it got nerfed.
Yeah, but it was still crazy awesome. It was way too powerful before.
Yeah. No, it was seriously like you were ending up with 42 sources of damage in one
per round
in a single round of combat,
yeah.
which just breaks our ability to do any kind of interesting puzzle fights.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it breaks several of the extant puzzle fights and limits our ability to do them.
Right.
We would have to design them all such that only Turtle Tamers could ever could ever do them. Which, you know, that would have been cool.
I don't know if the
let them shine for a little while.
I don't know. Did we? This conversation happened without me about the sledgehammer becoming one-handed but counting as a two-handed club for the purposes of...
Yeah, I don't know if people are even
thrust smack and lunging thrust smack. Yeah, I don't think they are, and I can't really think of a good way to describe it. It was what it was. Handle counts as a turtling rod. Like,
right.
That was janky as shit, I didn't want to rewrite all that.
I'd also balanced a little bit of the thing as a two-handed weapon, and they just made it one-handed.
Yeah, I know.
So,
but it was causing fucked up problems because your weapon changes in the middle of the fight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think I probably would have argued to leave it two-handed.
Yeah.
But it'll be fine. I don't know how good that skill is. Probably doesn't really matter at that point. It's not enough better than lunging thrust smack to make it meaningful.
Right.
The Postomancer one is kind of interesting because it gives them another stun on a different cooldown, which you were sort of against, but that was kind of the point of it as I wrote it, as opposed to like...
What this does, honestly, is open up a lot of possibilities for future fights that have to be handled by a specific class.
Yeah.
Which is neat.
Yeah. Like, you know, designing a fight that is only doable by a Postomancer with both of those things.
Yeah.
Although, probably not. You know, I mean, it doesn't... That doesn't do anything that, like...
A combat item doesn't. Well, but
do.
If it's immune to combat items...
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Right? And, yeah, you know, if you need to be able to stun it several times...
Yeah. The Disco Bandit and Accordion Thief ones are like sort of boring but cool. I mean, they're like potentially useful, right?
Right.
I was pretty pleased with the fight mechanic for Lopez. No, not Lopez. New Rave. Rave Disco Rave Demon. Right? That's the one that keeps scaling above you.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Keeps inflating himself.
Hey, we finally made de-leveling skills useful.
Theoretically, if people haven't figured this out, you're supposed to be able to fight these guys with the strengths that your class has and beat them.
Yeah. So then what else did we had a cancer meeting to discuss what special abilities the accessories were going to give. We came up with some pretty powerful things. That second pickpocket chance did not get implemented at all the way that I intended for it to be. I didn't mean for you to have to hit the button again.
Oh.
What I meant to happen was that if you just got to roll again, like it would just give you a message if your first pickpocket failed that was like, you don't find anything, so you reach in again and fish something out.
Oh, that was not fair to anybody except for you.
I know. I know. That's why I should write things down or explain things as opposed to just say, oh, second pickpocket chance. Because, like, I would have cringed if somebody told me, hey, edit the fight code so you get a second pickpocket chance if the first one fails. I would have been like, oh, God, that code is already so fucking messy. Like, the odds of that introducing a thing where you can just pickpocket every round over and over again.
C.D. Moyer does not shy away from just terrifying code this
No, but that's true. But he was still a little nervous about it. He was like, all right, I don't think I just made it so you can have infinite pickpockets in a combat. Like, it was not at all clear.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that also that we got a lot of testing on this because we introduced just a tremendous number of new things with this update.
Yeah. So the things that C.D. Moyer usually screws up in new code is like introducing ways that you can just find out the name of any item or something like that, right? So I don't think that he did anything like that. The gramophone stuff also we had not talked about that. So that's I'm actually really satisfied with the way that worked out.
Yeah.
Cuz having it not be like having it be a thing that you sort of have to seek out, having it only apply to the like good songs,
the ones that at this point are meaningfully traded in chat as opposed to buff bots. Yeah.
So we put a stop to that. Although apparently nobody was doing it, you know.
Well, right, that's the thing. Like
the kind of stuff that could have been meaningfully traded in chat, but everybody was like, no, it sucks trading things in chat because you have to talk to people and people are fuckers. What are the prices like on these things? They're on Wow, Donho's is fucking cheap. You can cast it 50 times a day, though.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. The rest of them... Inigo's is pretty cheap. You can cast that a lot of times, too, though, can't you? 5. Maybe not. Yeah, weird. I don't know. Richie Thingfinder is pretty cheap, too, which seems weird.
People are just, going to do that every day.
Benetton's is expensive, which that seems weird. Elrond's is expensive.
It's possible that the ones that people don't use very much are actually the expensive ones.
Yeah, and there are comparatively few of them in the mall. Huh. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be interesting to see how this bears out,
Sure.
Those were broken for a long time where you could use them to... They weren't counting the number of songs in your head. That whole additional Accordion Thief song. I did not know that the rest of them were all just hard-coded to give you a fourth Accordion Thief song. Gleaves says, the writing for the Accordion Thief Nemesis quest did a really good job of making me hate Somerset Lopez. Dick.
Yeah. he really turned out to be an asshole.
Alright, well that's enough talking about the Nemesis quest, so that's enough for this segment. We'll be back in literally zero time at all.
It's the best thing that you ever had, the best thing that you ever had. Don't leave me high. Don't leave me high.
Oh, Artificial amateurs aren't it all amazing? Analytically, I assault, animate things. Broken barriers bounded by the bomb beat. Buildings are broken, basically I'm bombarding. Casually create catastrophes, casualties, canceling cats, got the canopies collapsing. Detonate a dime a tank, daily doing dope. Demonstrations, Don Dada on the down low. Eating other editors with each and every energetic, epileptic episode, elevated etiquette. Furious, fat, fabulous, fantastic. Flurries of funk, felt feeding the fanatics. Gift got great, global goods gone glorious. Getting godly in this game with the glorious. Hit 'em high, hella hype, historical. Hey, Holocaust hymns, hear 'em holler at your homeboy. Imitators idolize, I intimidate. In an instant, I'll rise in an irate state. Juiced on my jams like Jerry Curls, jocking joints justly. It's just me writing my journals. Kindly, I'm kindling all kinds of King Kong. Karate kick type Ritz in my kingdom. Let me live along like lyrically. Lessons is learned, lame louses just lose to my leverage. My mind makes marvelous moves, masses. Marvel and move, many mock what I've mastered. Niggas nap knowing I'm nice naturally. Mac never lack, make noise nationally. Operation opposition off, not optional. Out of sight, out of mind, widening opticals. Perfective poems, powerful punchlines. Pummeling, petty powder puffs in my primes. Quite quaint close, keep quiet, it's quantum. Quarrelers ain't got a quarter of what we got. Really raw raps, rising up rapidly. Riding the rushing radio activity. Super scientifical, sound search sought. Sonicing, stupefy saps that are soft. Tails 10 times, talented, too tough. Take that, challengers, get a tune up. Universal, unique, untouched, unadulterated, the raw, uncut, verb by smart, victorious, valid, violate vibes out of vain, make them vanish, while I'm all well, what a wise wordsmith, just weaving up words, weeded up on my work shift, Xerox, my x-ray, gazing clothes, extra large, x-height letters, xylophone tones, yellow back, jack mouth, young ones, yawns, yesterday's lawn yard, sell, I yawn,
everybody. Now it's actually Thursday, and I'm a fucking idiot. Because we did an entire 45-minute segment last night when it wasn't really Thursday, and then Hot Stuff made a joke, and it didn't record. And I looked, and I was like, you're right. It didn't record. So apparently we've generated 154 kilobytes of data so far. Looking at this, yep, looking at this total go up and up and up as we record. So, son of a bitch. Now we're going to have the exact same conversation again.
Well, but we can't because we've already started differently.
Shit. You're gay.
It's like quantum.
Yeah, I'm sure
wait,
that came
gay.
Up.
Yeah, no, that's mostly what we talked about.
Yeah.
So, for the second segment, we... And I did that smart-ass thing where I was like, thank you, whoever's broadcasting, for playing some music, even though I forgot that the way that we do this now is that Hot Stuff actually edits together an entire two-hour show, and then we just give it to somebody. Gotta figure out who's gonna do that. Haven't gotten any replies from anybody. I'll make KMD do it. He'll broadcast anything.
Somebody should do it.
Although he's one of the big players in the Orlando trip, so I...
He can't do it. It
depends if he's going on tomorrow. There's hardly anybody going on Thursday. Yeah. I'm going early because when Scully got his tickets, he was like, yeah, we're going early. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll come and hang out with you. And we'll drink a beer or 30. I got a rough day ahead of me.
Yeah.
I got to start drinking in like 2 hours because I have to fly on a fucking airplane. And then I have a long flight and I'll have to drink on the whole flight. I'm going with Pez Boy. Pez Boy's going to drink a lot. Then I'm going to get there and drink more. Have to buy a bunch of whiskey. Drink whiskey just nonstop. Drinking whiskey.
You need to alternate your drinking of alcohol with your drinking of coffee.
Oh yeah, okay. All right.
There's study after study talking about how awesome coffee is for you.
Is there?
Yeah.
More and more.
So,
have you seen something recently?
Yeah.
So basically,
like,
you'll just completely and totally dehydrate by the end of the first day.
No, man.
Coffee does not dehydrate you.
Beer does not dehydrate
caffeine
you.
Does.
If you
no.
no, it doesn't. that's something that people say, and it just like
it's a diuretic, so you will pee, but you still have
well,
you
okay.
still have a net gain.
I mean,
in
as long
liquid.
You, well, no, you still
yes.
I don't think that's.
I
the
was
case.
You know I was converted in this argument, and it just is the case that anything you drink that contains water in it does hydrate you.
Yeah. There is no, like, you would not, like, because if that argument was to be taken at face value, you would say that somebody who only drank beer for 2 days
would die,
and that just
does
would
not
happen.
Yeah.
Well,
right?
I mean,
so.
It doesn't, it's not saying that there's no water value in the beer, it's just saying that it's, you're pissing out more than you're taking. Nah,
but you're
I don't
not.
Know
you're not. That, I mean, that's the thing.
Can we talk about something interesting?
It's just, no, but that's the thing. It's this compelling thing because you're like, oh man, I certainly feel dry the day after I drink beer, right? But like,
right.
You could drink beer and feel better, right?
So, yeah.
You know, you may end up with. Like what I could say is like you have a certain level of hydration, right? And then you drink beer, and it causes you to pee out more of the water that you consumed earlier.
I think that's
so.
What
you
I was
end up
say.
You end.
I mean,
up
they
with
definitely
a
have
a net loss, but that's only over a really. You end up with a net loss over a very specific period of time.
I mean, they definitely have records of what all those kids dying of dehydration from vodka Red Bulls.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was dying of
Although
being an
ecstasy
asshole.
Might also have been involved in that.
Yeah.
Ecstasy also dehydrates you.
And the dancing nonstop for 8 hours.
Yeah,
that probably
more,
doesn't help either.
Because right. that they're losing water just through sweating or whatever.
And spitting.
Yeah.
If they do the kind of dancing that I do, they're doing a lot of spitting.
I'm never going to the disco with you.
Luckily, I don't think there's any such thing as a disco anymore.
Well, the spit disco.
Sure, that's true. The disco spit. Where you going? You roast an entire turkey while you dance.
Okay, you could make an evening of it. You could go to the cash tango and the spit disco,
Or the stew disco, where you make a delicious stew out of an entire turkey that you've cooked on a spit while dancing. You know, we have so many good ideas.
I know.
We're just
nonstop.
We're going to, over the course of our lifetimes, enrich the world so much by
our humility,
making manifest every idea that we have. Spit disco.
So, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about Instant Karma.
Yep. We talked about the design process behind Instant Karma. We're going to talk about it again, and maybe it'll be more interesting this time. I
can't imagine that it will be.
God, this fucking sucks. I hate this. I hate that I am about to spend, like, 10 minutes doing something that I already did. I was so...
It doesn't seem to bother you with masturbation.
I know. But that's its own reward. I mean, I guess we're doing this for the benefit of the public,
which can also be said about masturbation when I do it.
But
rehearsal is important, you know?
Yeah, no, it's not. It is important for the timbre of our program here.
The timbre?
That it be unrehearsed. Unrehearsed. Why did you said something that's not a word,
timbre?
And that fucked me up and made it so I couldn't finish the word that I was saying. timbre. Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
From
Tambor. Timbre.
Tambor. Jeffrey Chambord.
So you should tell the story of what sort of evolved out of our discussions in dev about Stupak's.
All right, so Stupak posted his thing like, I'm a whiny speedster. I don't like doing hardcore oxy runs. And I'm only using that voice because I like Stupak so much.
Yeah, that's pretty much how he. That's how
he's a cool dude. Anyway
that he cares,
he's a cool
about.
Dude. But that's that's what I do. Yeah. Or when I'm doing an impression of Riff talking about the player base.
That's true.
Only about the player base. If Riff's talking about Legos, I'm like, I'm Riff. I like Legos. Because he has a totally different voice when he talks about Legos than when he talks about the player base. I don't know, man. It is complicated being my friend. And I'm sorry, guys.
At least you're willing to keep track of all the differences for us.
Yeah.
If we had to keep square of all this ourselves, that would suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was this post about how Stupak was all, I don't like having to do a hardcore oxy lead-in run for every speed attempt that I have to do. And we were like, yeah, you know, I can see why somebody wouldn't like that. And also, we looked at things and we were like, NS13 ruined the game. We're always thinking about ways in which we might attempt to reinvigorate competitive speed play, right? I am not convinced that it is critical to the success of the game to have a vibrant competitive speed landscape.
Sure, it would be nice, though.
But it would be nice. It would be nice.
There was
something that we had, and it was something that we don't have anymore. And you never know what you have until you lose it.
Right. The sort of energy of the community around speed ascending in NS11 was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's sad that does not seem to
well, so and speed ascender people are more likely to talk on the forums, so and they're probably more likely to listen to the radio and send us questions and talk to us about stuff. So they're overrepresented in the people that we talk to and in our ideas about how healthy the community is, right?
Yeah.
I wish that I only get this experience when I talk to, like, say, a friend from high school who discovered KOL and started playing it. That, I feel like, is probably, like, the most representative of the player base at large picture that I ever get of anything, and it's, like, so difficult to do that on purpose, you know?
Yeah, but we all have friends from high school, and they've all played the game.
But I only have one friend in high school.
In high school?
Yeah. I have a lot of friends that are in high school now. I don't. Well, I don't know that I would call them friends.
Friends.
Yeah. Dates.
Concubines. Yeah. I'm sure that we could run into people. I'm sure that if we just expanded out our network of people that we know and talk to, we would find people who discovered KOL, played casually, never went into the forums, probably never entered chat.
Right.
And we could say, you know, hey, what was your experience of this, you know, without knowing about the wiki? And they would probably say, oh, I got to the fucking valley and couldn't solve the puzzle, and so I quit in disgust. And I
couldn't make a meat car.
Yeah, I tried to send you guys some fire in the mail in the hopes that your office would burn down, but I couldn't be bothered to find your address or figure out a way to mail fire. So Stupak wrote this post about how he didn't like doing hardcore oxy lead-ins to attempt speedruns. And we were like, well, okay, let's come up with some ideas. Let's brainstorm about the ways in which we might be able to you know, we might be able to alleviate this problem.
Right.
Let us take it as a given that this is a problem, right?
Right.
Which is the first step in a thought experiment, right?
In a 12-step
just take something
thought
that's
experiment.
Bullshit and pretend it's true.
It's true.
No, it is true. It's not bullshit. I'm sorry, Stupak. Man. I'm being a lot meaner. I think it's because I'm nervous because I have to get on an airplane. I'm all high strung, and I had some coffee this morning. I drank a bunch of it.
You did, actually.
Yeah, I know, man.
You got to stop drinking directly out of the pot.
Yeah.
I think that just... You're like, oh, it's just one pot.
Yeah.
And then you drink the whole thing.
But when I grew up, I didn't have a pot to drink out of or a window to throw it in. So I have to take advantage of my ability to piss in things and throw them out of other things now.
You and Calvin.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Calvin. So anyway, Stupak posted a picture of Calvin peeing on Hardcore Oxy lead-ins.
Right.
And we were talking about it in dev. And so we started coming up with ideas for how we could... Like, initially it was sort of like, how could we let people, like, save up lead-in runs? Or... Basically, do things in Aftercore that would give you the same benefit as doing a lead-in run. Like, basically, we didn't want you to just, like, get a bunch of shit for free that was the equivalent of doing a Hardcore Oxy lead-in. We wanted to give people more ways to play and accomplish the same thing. So, I came up with this sort of scheme based on an idea that... I don't know if it was Marshall who started it.
I don't remember who.
Marshall, somebody popped in the middle of the discussion who doesn't pop in very much. I feel like that's probably Marshall, because he's the one who, like, he doesn't come around very often, but when he does, he will come in, post some giant idea to the forums, and then just sort of disappear.
Drink some Dos Equis and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was some voucher idea where you'd get... Yeah. You basically... It replaced the way the whole thing worked... And made it so you got this stuff, and then you got a certain number of, like, free pull items, sort of. I don't remember exactly how.
Yeah, you got to pull stuff out of.
Yeah, it was basically using Hanks to accomplish something similar to what we did. So I was like, well, okay, how would we design Ascension if we were designing it now? Right, and I'm like, well, okay, so I can imagine us designing it in such a way that when you are in the afterlife, you are spending some sort of currency that you've earned by doing things to get rewards, because World of Warcraft just pollutes us all. but I think that system works. I mean, I think that this Crimbo was fucking awesome, and I think that it would not have been awesome if everything in the store had been bought with meat. For instance,
sure.
Right? I think that doing the, like, sand dollar thing, doing the Crimbucks thing is a good way to, like, get people to you get rewards that are relevant to your interests.
Right. We should have made it so that you didn't have to play 11 just all day long to
you
get
think?
It. Yeah.
Well, I mean, theoretically, that's what the slot machine was for, but the way that played out was a little. It was too multi abusable.
Yeah.
Right. If we wanted to. Make it easy. So like, I was thinking, well, okay, how about Ascending earns you some karma, and that's just like a stat that you have that only shows up when you're in Valhalla.
Yeah, this was before we had conceived of the current conception of it entirely.
Yeah.
So
it was before we had even conceived of the conception. It was before the idea of thinking about the current conception of the existing conception of karma was even a glint in the eye of the glint in the eye of its father.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, let's try to devise a system whereby you get the same amount of goodies that you get now, but you're actually choosing them and sort of buying them with this currency. So I'm like, well, here's my system, and here's the fundamental flaw in my system that is going to make everyone hate it in the fullness of time and yell at me and get my panties in a bunch and make me all depressed and end up yelling at Hot Stuff about the number 12. All right, so... Any ascension for which you would get a single consumable would give you one karma, and then that consumable would cost one karma. So, single barrel whiskey, one karma. Pate, retinale de herb pate, one karma. Breathe-tastic canned air, one karma. So there was the first fundamental flaw in my thinking, which was that if you could get canned air for the same price as... whiskey or pate, that you would just never ever buy whiskey or pate.
Right.
piece of stainless, 3 karma. Yep. Piece of plexi, 6 karma. So basically the idea that I had was that you could do a hardcore no-path run, elect not to take a piece of stainless, and get 3 air instead. Right? So there were a number of problems with which this system was fraught. One is the aforementioned iniquity in value between pate and whiskey and canned air. And I was like, well, let's make whiskey and pate 3 times as good. Because that could potentially fuck some other stuff up too, and that'd be cool. It used to be that when I wanted to shake things up, I would like cut something in half or multiply it by 2. Now I'm like, you know what? Fuck that noise. 2 is not extreme enough for me anymore. I'm going to multiply shit by fucking 3.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to do.
You've acquired the pinball numbering problem.
Yeah. And now I know how it works because I've seen a transparent pinball machine. The other problem was that the gems and clovers were not in that system. I'm like, you know what? There is no sane currency which could be used to purchase both a canned air and a disassembled clover.
And by sane currency, he means something that is in the single. Yeah, that is in single digits.
Right. Because I'm a fan of single digits. The reason that I wanted this to be something that made sense in single digits is because I wanted killing the nemesis to give you 1 additional karma.
Yep.
Right? So killing the nemesis, giving you 1 additional canned air, that feels right to me. Killing the nemesis, giving you 40 points, 30 of which can be used to buy a piece of plexi, 26 of which can be used to buy a piece of stainless, unless it's a scarf or whatever. And anyway, basically you'd be able to spend this karma in Valhalla to determine the contents of your letter from Ralph. And you would be able to buy off gear as long as you had unlocked it. So you could, as long as you had done 1 hardcore turtle tamer run, you would always be able to get the plexi pith helmet. The stainless steel.
Stainless steel.
Shield. What the fuck did turtle tamers get? I don't know. There weren't shields back then.
Right.
Stainless steel. Is there a hat?
Skull cap.
Skull cap. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so there was the consumable iniquity problem. There was the clover and shit problem, and then there was also the. So basically, everybody came to the conclusion at the same time that the only way that system was going to work is if the numbers were a lot bigger and you had to pay to perm skills.
Right.
Which I don't exactly understand the reasoning behind the whole skill.
The thing was, you needed to be able to earn some points from a softcore no-path run.
Right.
Right. And the way that I had conceived
it, 0 points.
Can you turn the dishwasher off?
It's not the dishwasher.
It's not? Oh, that's weird. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Well, I thought that the dishwasher had gotten closed and kicked on again. Yeah. Well, that's good radio, right there.
Yeah, so under your plan, you did a softcore no-path run, you earned 0 karma.
Because you currently earn nothing from a softcore no-path run.
Right.
Except a skill.
Right.
Right, which is why I wanted that to be outside the system. So Hot Stuff came back with this system, and it cost 12 karma to unlock a skill, and 12 made me really mad, because basically at this point I just got all butthurt that my idea that I was really excited about, and that everybody else was really excited about, had turned into something that I hated. Right.
This happens a lot, actually.
Yeah.
This, like, you will come up with something, and then there'll be, like, all these other considerations that other people want to take into consideration, and, like, that just makes you fundamentally dissatisfied with the thing entirely.
Right, and then it languishes in incompleteness for forever. See PvP revamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because something like in a case like that, it's like, all right, we're almost done, and then, oh no, wait, this isn't interesting enough. This isn't going to work unless we add something that is going to be as much work as has already been done times 3, in addition to what we've already done. And so it's like, fuck it. And then it just sits there forever. Anyway, so I got mad, and I yelled at Hot Stuff about numbers, and then later I apologized because he was sad and sulked in his room all day. I felt kind of bad.
You know, it happens.
It was the booze talking, not me. It's always anytime I do something mean or say something mean, it's the booze.
I don't think you've been drinking.
Even if you're not drunk at the time.
Fuck. Yeah, it's the booze from yesterday.
And you were always drinking yesterday.
That's true. I am always drunk from yesterday. Yeah. I am always was drunk yesterday. So eventually, I don't remember exactly how the idea evolved into this existing thing, but I was like, you know,
we sat down and threw the whole thing away that we sort of talked about, and we're like, okay, let's. Part of the problem was that we had a bunch of different constraints that we were trying to work with.
Right, we were trying to make it so you got basically the same reward for you could get the same rewards for doing the same thing, and that we didn't like just fuck everything up.
Right,
in
and
that
so
regard.
We were like, well, we've got to throw at least one of these constraints away. And so one of the constraints that you were unwilling to throw away was the simplicity. So we're like, okay, something that we need to come up with something that is simple, but maybe you're not actually duplicating a real lead-in or whatever. And one of the other constraints was, you know, we don't want... One of the things that your system was like, you still kind of need to do... Your plan was more like, you can save up for a bunch of, like, speed runs by doing a hardcore oxy run. And I was like, well, that doesn't really solve a lot of these problems, you know, like...
Right.
It would be nice if you could save up...
What I ended up saying was, a hardcore oxy run would basically be three lead-ins instead of one.
Yeah, and so I was like, what I think would be a more ideal situation was if you could do casual runs in some way to save up. You know, you could do the kind of run that you like to do to actually save up for a more complete lead-in or whatever.
Right. I mean, I guess even softcore speed runs are better as a lead-in, or at least let you save up stuff for a lead-in.
Right.
In a way that, you know... I mean, and still, for complete optimality, you're still going to have to come in with the gear, and we've got...
Yeah.
There are proposals on the table for dealing with that, but I wanted to roll this out in a more straightforward form. And I wanted to roll it out with the Nemesis, so...
Right. So, that's the thing, right? So, you... Right now, you get. I don't know if everything has been completely spaded out.
I believe it has. Yeah, I don't think they have 100% confirmation of it, but
yeah.
So you get a piece of instant karma or a unit of karma for defeating the sorceress at level 13, or
I think below. At level 13 or lower.
Right. And then
is it possible to beat her?
Yeah, you can't get to her.
You can de-level. You can unlock the tower and then de-level.
I guess
yourself.
If you de-leveled yourself. Yeah.
And then you get one for defeating the Nemesis while having gone through every challenge,
right?
In a real way, and then you also get one for having a run that shows up on
when you free the king. It is possible that this the only reason that people wouldn't understand this if it is buggy,
right?
When you free the king, if that run is going to hit a leaderboard, then you get an extra karma.
So
and the class subboards
run.
Count.
Yeah.
And it is my hope that by the time it gets harder to get the leaderboard.
Well, it's your first hope is that this will in some way
right. make the, it's my hope that this will reinvigorate leaderboard play for
a little
for
bit
the more
of,
obscure
yeah.
leaderboards a little bit. People were kind of wanting it to apply to like the 100% familiar run leaderboards and that I'm not going to do.
No.
That is its own reward and I feel like those are already reasonably competitive because Those are a thing that I feel like that's a leaderboard that I feel like a casual player is interested in.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play a run with just some bullshit familiar that doesn't really help me and just see what I can do.
Damn that.
Right.
And like, yeah. So, because I feel like those are leaderboards that the optimizers don't really care about.
These are, yeah. So, I mean, the whole point of these karma is that they are something that a very casual player can just use and is just like an extra nice reward, a bunch of extra turns for use in Aftercore or whatever.
Because
or they want someday
player,
they want to farm or whatever.
Probably not filling up his spleen.
Yeah, and the you know this sort of like hidden discard functionality is just something for the speed descenders. It really is just something for people that you know have some very specific goal in mind vis-a-vis ascension, and so that's like. The only reason that we're going to give you an extra one is for being on sort of a competitive speed ascension leaderboard.
Right. There was some consternation in dev about the idea of tying a reward to leaderboards. Smoothmouth yelled at me and then apologized later.
But there were several voices that were like, "This is really dissatisfying. I don't like you know leaderboards should be their own reward, et cetera, et cetera." And
right.
you know, the counter argument is that clearly they're not enough of a reward.
Yeah.
In their own right for them to be meaningful right now.
I mean, this guy made the point that I had always said leaderboards are their own reward, and I, you know, the rebuttal that I made to him was like, well, you know, like, things can change, right? Yeah. Things have changed, and clearly these leaderboards that are just desolate in terms of competition are not enough their own reward.
Right.
So yeah, and you know, it is my hope that maybe the reason that the competitive landscape has died out a little bit is because it lost a critical mass that it is possible to reacquire. I don't know that that's true. Right? I don't know that this is going to accomplish anything.
Right.
But, you know, it's certainly not hurting anything.
Right.
So
then your second hope was that beyond reinvigorating the leaderboards thing, which will have this sort of consequence of
them getting harder to get over time, right? So basically, by the time it gets difficult to get the extra karma from hitting a leaderboard, there should be the completion of the underwater stuff, which will be another way. Doing the sort of like full arc of the quest down there will also give you a karma in the same way that the Nemesis does.
Right. That is the current plan.
Yep. The underwater stuff is closer to... I don't remember if we talked about this in the fucking segment that got recorded or not. The underwater stuff is... I feel like going into the last push on it, we're going to be closer to done than we were going into the last push on the Nemesis. Because the last push on the Nemesis ended up crunch time on the Nemesis ended up taking 3 months.
And, yeah, it's because each crunch time is 2 weeks, and there were six of them.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. There's only two fundamentally different versions of the underwater stuff. Fuck.
Yeah.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know.
Really, they're not that different. It's only sort of the...
It branches
the
at
end
one
game
point.
That branches, yeah.
Well, yeah. Two.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only two and not six.
Yeah.
So we went through a handful of Radio Bugbear questions and then flushed them and then realized that they didn't get recorded. I felt like Whoopi Goldberg at the end of The Telephone or that kid in Wet Hot American Summer at the... part of Wet Hot American Summer where you realize the radio is not plugged into anything.
There's some story about some college radio station that had been broadcasting for 8 months and their antenna had been unplugged the whole time. So no one had ever heard anything that they'd done.
I don't
know if that was true or apocryphal.
Yeah. All right, so I'm just going to try and go through. Damasta had written, is there any reason the Lighthouse Keeper and Farmer McMillican Cuddy require you to be in the outfit of that side that completed their quest while the other three rewarders don't? Those are all messy and different because of the way that they work.
Jink-tastic.
There's not really any way for the game to know whose side you're on unless it is by your outfit, right? Like, I see by your outfit that you are a hippie.
Right.
So yeah, there are some artifacts of that that don't really make any sense. Like once you've completed McMillican Cuddy's quest as a frat boy, you shouldn't have to be dressed as a frat boy to go get your daily special lager from him. I don't think, and it sounds like you do.
I feel like
that makes sense narratively.
Were I to sort of design it a second time, I probably would have different, like two separate flags for each. Quest, doing it as a hippie and doing it as a frat boy.
So that you could progress through it multiple times? Like,
no. Like, you'd still complete it once.
You'd only be able to complete it once, but you could...
But, right, because right now what they do is they'll get something right before completion as a, you know, as a frat boy and then do a single turn as the...
Uh-oh.
Like, they'll turn it in as the other side.
I see.
And then, like, there's a bunch of artificial... ways to shorten the thing by some clever outfit switching and stuff. And because it's all done with a single counter as opposed to having a counter for each side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would approach it a little differently. Be a little more robust, but, you know.
I mean, if we had... Did that predate, like, the quest log?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Was England before Vermont?
What?
Did England exist before Vermont did? Yeah, it did. Fred Levi wrote, "Say the giant discarded fork is already an eating implement. Make a chef staff out of it." That is not a bad idea, Fred Levi.
We don't make chef staffs out of every utensil, though.
No, we don't make chef staves out of any utensil.
Well,
it's a staff,
right?
And it's the mysticality reward, and I mean it's bullshit otherwise.
Right, but what benefit does Like, what is the argument? It's an eating implement, and that thus it should be a chef staff. Like,
okay, so chef's fine, and friendly, but you got a good idea for the wrong reason. You know, it could just be a chef staff, right? By that point, both classes have the ability to wield chef staves.
Well, but I mean, isn't the point of chef staves that they should generally require some subsidiary little quest to
do?
Yeah,
sure. But they don't all.
That's true. I guess that you have some that just...
The item of the month ones.
Right.
But, I mean, that's... Whatever.
Yeah.
Durgle says, any chance we'll see an item drop effect or enchantment that increases the base item drop rate? Like a plus 5% base item drop rate? No.
Negatory.
That would be broken. It used to be, in the very early days, that that's how plus item drops worked. But then I realized early on that, like, oh, wait. That's dumb, because if you ever get, like, plus 99, then every item in the game will just drop. And maybe I don't want a game that works like that.
Disproportionate effect for items that had a very low drop rate.
Panic says, I know Jika said drawing tats is hard, but getting some for stainless steel / plexi / brim would be really sweet. Yeah, no, I know. I know everybody wants those.
The avatars are done, aren't they? Like, it's just the tats at this point.
Yeah. Oh. Sure is.
Huh.
Gullwhacker says, question for Jick Show. Do you ever consider putting curry dishes in the game? If I put curry dishes in the game, it would be based on that skill from Castlevania Portrait of Ruin where you just throw a dish of curry on the ground.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
I think that it was like a good way to kill those like iron golems or whatever, because it... You put a dish of curry down, and it's just like one damage.
Maybe I just didn't realize it was a dish of curry.
Yeah. It said curry. It's a delicious curry.
Huh. Could you then eat it? Would you take damage?
I don't think so.
Why did monsters take damage from it? Was it too spicy?
Maybe it was too spicy. Yeah. It was because a waiter would throw it at you.
I thought the teddy bear was a good way to fight the golems.
That was in Soul of Sorrow, Dawn Souls.
I cannot keep those games separate in my head.
Yeah, no, the teddy bear was, though. That was, like, I did all this work to get the teddy bear because I was like, oh, fuck, I gotta farm this fucking iron golem, and it's got like a 1% drop rate, and it's so hard to kill. Teddy bear made it a lot easier to kill, so I spent a lot of time doing the, like, boss rush mode to win the teddy bear. Teddy bear was like this club that you would swing in a big arc. So basically the iron golem had...
Its special ability was that
every source of damage did one damage to it, right? Yeah. So you just had to keep hitting it over and over and over and over again. But the teddy bear was a thing that you would swing, and it would deal damage at like 20 different points on its arc. So you would do a whole bunch of damage. You know, it was like basically swinging the teddy bear at the golem once was like swinging another weapon 20 times. And so I went through this whole boss rush mode, get the timing exactly right, because it was like one of the middle rewards. We had this conversation about the whack and stick. Which is a similar thing to this, right? Because it wasn't like the best time in the boss rush mode. It was just like a kind of good time gives you the teddy bear. I went through all the trouble of getting that, and then I was like, all right, time to settle in and farm this fucking iron golem. And then he dropped the thing that I wanted the second time I killed him. I'm like, God damn it.
But, you know.
No, but I'm happy. Teddy bear. I mean, yeah. Like, cool. I still got the teddy bear. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I can still probably pick that game up and be like, yeah, I'm going to beat the shit out of some stuff with this teddy bear. It's kind of a terrible weapon against everything else. Because I think it only does one damage.
But that's cool.
Yeah. No. It was.
It's neat that they came up with a mechanic and a way to defeat the mechanic.
Yeah.
With another mechanic.
GigaShadow555 asks if I'm excited for Fallout New Vegas. And it says, looks like it's going to be the Vice City or San Andreas to Fallout 3's GTA 3. I am excited about Fallout New Vegas.
It's the guys that... it's all the same writers and shit from the original two Fallouts, isn't it?
Is it?
I believe it is. Many of them, in any case.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about more Fallout 3, basically.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it being the Vice City to Fallout 3, but not the San Andreas to Fallout 3, because San Andreas was bullshit.
Yeah, it's weird to me that those two things would be mentioned in the same breath as being awesome, right? Because I feel like if you liked one, you wouldn't necessarily like the other.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know people who like both.
Do they?
Right. Xenophobe got super into...
Did he like Vice
San
City?
Andreas. He did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, I think he exhaustively plumbed Vice City and then got super into San Andreas. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like you wouldn't have been particularly excited about San Andreas if you had not played any Fallout? If you've not played any Fallout games prior to that?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you hadn't played
Far Cry 2. I feel like Vice City has just gotten more and more annoying, you know? All the dating mini games and stuff is just...
I have sort of zero interest in GTA 4 because it seems like it is so plot-driven and there is just no... It's like, all right, we've made this incredibly realistic world with no fucking taxi missions. You know, like, you just can't...
The problem I had with 4 was basically that the driving was 100% bullshit.
Was it?
Like, you had no fucking steering control. Every car handled, like...
Dramatically differently.
Dramatically poorly.
Why?
I don't know. Like, I guess they were trying to be extra realistic or something.
What is the
point?
But
it just translated to shitty.
Yeah, like, what is the point of that? Like, do they not realize how awesome they made Vice City? Like, you could make another game that was just like Vice City with some, like, different missions, and, like, a different city to explore, different places to jump your car... You know, different.
Yeah, and I would probably still play it, even without an engine update. Right. I would probably still play that.
Yeah.
Man, I spent hours just in Vice City, just driving back and forth on that one street where the median strips between the two lanes had a little bit of a ramp and trees in the middle of them.
And just hopping trees.
Flipping the car to see how high I could launch it and how many times I could make it spin. Just for hours, just doing that.
I was really upset when I spent a long time, like, finding one of those ramp trucks, like the car carrier trucks, and, like, setting it up just so, and then, like, driving all the way down to the far end, and then driving back, and it was gone.
It despawned. That is one thing that I would... The one thing I would update about the Vice City engine is the thing where it can only have so many car models in the... So, like, driving a car means you see a lot more of that car, because that's like, ah. It's like...
Well,
it kind of gives you that weird, like... That like,
I just learned a word, and now I sing the word everywhere.
Yeah, there's got to be a name for that.
Yeah, but see, if you figure out what that name is,
what the word is, I'll start seeing it everywhere. Yeah.
The benefit to that, though, is that if you're driving your cheetah down the street on a mission and you wreck it,
right,
you only have to wait a couple cars to get another one.
Yeah, but then that diminishes the value of the cheetah being rare, I feel like. So, I mean, maybe I'm the only person that cares about shit.
No, I think that's a valid complaint.
I mean, like, so I feel like there are times when I feel like I wish that games would give me less of a reward because it would be more meaningful.
Huh.
And I feel like that is not a thing that would occur to people who weren't.
You know, when you get the tank and you drive the tank, it's not like you see a bunch of tanks.
Yeah.
Which is, there's clearly some...
I did not enjoy the driving the tank, I never bothered getting, like, airplanes and helicopters and stuff. Yeah, like,
Did you ever play the tank and turn the turret around behind you?
Just fire behind you to move fast? No.
Yeah, you could go faster than anything else in the game by doing that. It was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
You could turn gravity really low and ramp with one of those things and just fly across the entire map.
You know what I enjoyed, actually? I enjoyed flying the Dodo in the first GTA 3.
What is a Dodo?
It was the only flying thing in the game. It was this plane with, like, half the wings cut off.
Huh.
And it flew really poorly, but if you managed to get the takeoff just right and kept it handling properly, you could fly across the entire map.
Huh.
And it was interesting. It was sort of a meditative thing. You had to kind of get in the zone to keep it in the air.
That's interesting. I kind of like the remote control plane missions and the helicopter missions and stuff like that.
That was where I basically stopped doing the story missions.
Huh. Well, wait, those aren't story missions, though. There's like one...
There's a branch.
There's one thing that you have to
do. Right, okay. I could not... There was the first remote control helicopter mission where you have to drop bombs in the trash barrels in that building that's under construction.
Oh, yeah, that was hard,
I just couldn't do it.
Huh.
I tried 50 times and just could not do it.
Oh.
It was... Controlling that helicopter with keyboard was god-awful.
Oh, you played it on a PC?
Yeah, I played it on a PC.
Oh, I played it on a console.
Yeah. I tried playing it on a console, and I could just never fucking hit anybody. Any mission that required you to shoot dudes, I just died.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm fucking terrible at video games.
How did you play through so many of them so recently?
I don't know. It's weird. In Batman, you're not shooting dudes. Batman, Arkham Asylum is fucking easy.
Did you also have it on easy?
I think
mode?
I also played it on easy. I played Mass Effect on normal. But, yeah, I don't know. Rickett telling us that we should make whatever changes we think are necessary to food and booze. Casey Wiederman says, I'm with Rickett. Make changes you think are necessary. People bitching does not necessarily equate to people leaving the game. They'll get used to a change if it's for the better. Yeah, no, I know, buddy.
All food and booze gives you one adventure.
All right, I came up with a new scheme.
Yeah.
All right, so because I feel like, in general, we have introduced better and better food as time goes by, we'll make it so all food is worth one fullness, and it gives you a number of adventures equal to its item ID plus or minus 5.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I like that.
That's a great system.
That'll solve all kinds of problems.
And then it'll give you stat points based on how the length of the description.
Oh yeah, because the more interesting it is, the better it tastes.
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
And it can parse the use text for anything that is the name of an effect.
Good. And give you that effect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Alan Q. Smithy wrote, I recently found the contact info for the girl who gave me my first kiss 10 years ago. She's married, and all I really want to do is casually catch up on the lost time. Advice? Kill yourself.
Wait, define catch up on lost time. Like, all the time that you lost kissing her? Because I think
her husband would be mad if you made out with his wife.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe they're crazy swingers.
Could be an open marriage.
Just send her an email.
Yeah, it won't be weird.
Yeah, it won't be weird at all.
Well, I mean, it could be weird, I guess. Depends on... There's all kinds of potential...
Oh, I hate
potential.
My husband now, and I want to suck your dong.
No, I mean, there could be all kinds of
totally
potential weirdness.
That's totally going to happen.
Yeah.
If her husband is the jealous type. So, is her husband a guy who's, like, 22, or is her husband a guy who's, like, 40?
And what is... Right? What were the conditions that you stopped hanging out? Like, if you haven't spoken to her in 10 years, did you guys...
Was there a fight? Have a horrible breakup?
Yeah, was there...
Did she throw you into an open sewer for being a terrorist?
Is there an outstanding warrant for, your arrest?
Does she have a restraining order against you? And is the duration of that restraining order 10 years exactly? I mean, is that why... This is why you recently found the contact info, because you were finally allowed to use a computer again? A lot of factors we don't know.
So, it's hard to say one way or another, but...
But I don't think it's weird to talk to an ex-girlfriend from 10 years ago.
In all likelihood, it's going to be fine.
Yeah. But if she's married to, like, a 22-year-old dude, he's probably going to freak out about it.
What if the dude turns out to look exactly like him?
Oh, man, that would be weird.
Like a clone?
Yeah.
Wow.
What if the dude is actually his long-lost identical twin, and they have dogs with the same name?
Then I think they're living in a soap opera.
Hmm. Harrican says, are you guys ever going to add any more semi-rares? There's a lot of zones, especially all the level 11 zones in the sea, that don't have them, and it's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of adding more semi-rares, it's just that we...
Coming up with them is the...
Yeah.
We shot our wall.
I mean, even like a crappy semi-rare, I guess, is better than no semi-rare.
Not necessarily.
Well, why not? How is it not better... I mean, I guess maybe it's a semi-rare that isn't worth a turn.
Yeah.
Jacques Minot says, Thursday's discussion of technical things was very interesting. I would enjoy hearing more. It's weird how people describe discussions like that as, like, technical. Whereas I didn't feel like it was a technical...
The technical aspects of the design. I mean, we talked about design process and philosophy and... what we went through and why we made the decisions we did,
Yeah.
It was technical compared to our standard bullshit, so...
Well, that's true. But, I mean, it's not technical compared to, like, somebody asking a specific question about a specific item and us listing some numbers, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think of as technical discussion.
Oh, I see.
I think of that... I think of what we did on Thursday as more of, like, a sort of philosophical discussion.
Huh.
I don't know, man.
Technical philosophy.
Oh, fuck. Snave... That is something that I meant to do.
What'd you do?
I'll...
Later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vicky says, gag skill idea allows you to have more than 3 songs stuck in your head, but takes up an AT song
spot. We've discussed that before.
I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, it's like an extra hand.
Yeah.
It's a fake hand. Fake extra hand.
Vicky says, have you ever considered making a KOL CCG? OMG. LOL.
Not seriously.
Yeah, no, it's really not.
They're a good way to dump a bunch of money into a hole.
A ton of money.
Yeah.
I was at, I think the only, okay, not the only, but one of the very few panels I've ever been at Comic-Con was about marketing your board game, and they had a bunch of these, you know, published board game designers talking, and the question and answer, somebody asked how they could get their CCG published, and every single one of these guys was, don't do it, just do not fucking do it, don't even think about it.
collectible card game. For those
I mean,
who don't know
that's
what CCG
but
mean.
That's yeah. You know, that's advice or whatever. But like, you know, maybe somebody would have said the same thing to the guy who wanted to launch Yu-Gi-Oh. You know, I mean, so it's
well, but that happened. That was in a different
time
world. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, given the advice that people give in panels about the kind of shit that we're doing.
Sure.
That this is impossible and it's never going to work is not necessarily true, right?
Well, they followed it up with decent advice. They continued on and said things like, what you should do is figure out for it to be a customized deck game where you, like, something like Dominion, basically. Where the box has all the cards in it and you just make your own deck before playing each time.
Right.
Or something like that. But not something where you actually have to buy boosters.
Yeah.
You know, it is. There will come a time when there is another hit CCG, which
maybe
will defy this logic, right? So, like, it's not that it's impossible, but 99% of all CCGs that have been made have just been tremendous wastes of money.
Yeah, you got to print so many cards to have a chance of getting the kind of penetration that you need for it to actually succeed, and then the odds of it happening, I feel like, are really slim.
Yeah,
you know. Maybe there will be some other just sort of like paradigm shifting model for play that's super fun and not already. You also sort of have to worry about the gorilla in the room with Magic, right?
Yeah.
Like, your game is not going to be as good as Magic, probably, because they've been in active development for what, fucking 20 years? 15?
15 at least.
Yeah. Refining and polishing and adding content to a thing for 15 years. I mean, there is no way for a new product to compete with that unless it is just something fundamentally different. And, like, if you're asking guys at a Comic-Con panel about how you should market your card game, it is probably not some revolutionary, fundamentally different new thing, right? Like, so, yeah, I don't know. We're at time.
Okay.
So, Gonna end this here thing. Those of you who I see in Florida, I will see you in Florida. Those of you who are not, I'll
or will have already seen in Florida.
I don't know if there's a Tuesday show.
It is unlikely there will be a Tuesday
show.
Yeah,
because I think I'm gonna be flying back on Tuesday night, and I don't know when. Either Scully's leaving Tuesday and I'm leaving Wednesday, or he's leaving Monday and I'm leaving Tuesday. I don't remember. And we might also all die of alcohol poisoning on Sunday. That's unlikely. I've already done it. I just also have to drink 11 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, have
see
a good you. Weekend, everybody.
Hello. Hello. Who's speaking?
This is
Ichigo.
Could I speak to
Pizzicato
5, please?
Oh, yes. Is it to Namaste, though? This is Pizzicato 5.
Oh, hi. We love your music.
Oh, we'd love to. Why not do it right away?
On the phone?
Why not?
Okay, let's do it. very much. It was a pleasure working with you.
Yes, I think so too.